Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview, and today over the phone we are joined by Representative Logan Monson, and with the upcoming session of the Utah State Legislature right around the corner, we're bringing Representative Monson on to give us a legislative preview. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Representative Monson. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks for having me. Always good to chat with you.
You know, and it's nice to have legislators around here, especially in rural Utah, who are always so willing to keep the public updated with what's going on. And, you know, it's an exciting time for you. Not only are you going for re-election in this next term, but you have the whole session ahead of you now to look forward to. And coming off of your freshman session, you had a pretty big impact immediately. You've been named to some important committees in the interim. But looking at the bills that you've introduced so far in preparation, the first one I want to talk about looks to be a bit more of a cleanup bill. It's the Bears Ears Visitor Center Advisory Committee Amendments, HB 35. And that one just looks like it expands the advisory committee's role, kind of pushing off that sunsetting just a little bit.
Yeah, so it was set to expire this year at the end of the year. All we're doing is giving it another 2 years. We feel like the discussions are still being had on things related to the visitor center there, and just extending another couple of years. There's no money attached to this at all. It's just simply saying, let's keep having this discussion for another couple of years.
You know, and it's always good to see that those kinds of things are being taken care of. You don't want to cut off a committee too soon before they can accomplish their purpose. So I really like what this does in being proactive in that regard. Now, the next bill I want to talk about kind of ties into your personal and professional life working in healthcare. That is the Emergency Reporting Abuse Amendments, HB 113. What does this bill kind of aim to do for the state of Utah?
Yeah, so what we're trying to do here is, and initially when we looked at this, we came up with some things pretty local, specific to like San Juan County. But the more we've gotten involved and engaged in talking to other communities, especially in the district, this issue seems to be happening elsewhere at different levels and for different reasons. So what's been happening is we're getting 911 services, so dispatched out for fire, for an ambulance, emergency related services, and there's not a real emergency. So it's that they need a ride somewhere, or they need someone to do something for them at their house that they couldn't do themselves. So really, it's abusing the system. We had a situation recently where in San Juan County there was an actual need, and one of these calls was taking place to where someone simply wanted a ride from one location to the next on the ambulance. The ambulance was called out, and there was a true emergency, and they had to take that person on the back of a flatbed truck because of what was created there, and everything turned out good in this situation. But that's kind of what we're looking at, are those kind of situations where someone knowingly is abusing 911, especially when it leads to injury, death, or major costs, and we're just trying to hold people a little more accountable.
And that's something that, like you talked about, you look first at Blanding, your hometown, in trying to develop these, but as you get to further and further out, especially in rural areas, this is a common problem, especially with how spread thin emergency services are in eastern Utah. You got a long drive for a lot of these people, so it creates a lot of chaos if this happens. So I really like what this bill is trying to do.
Yeah, resources are limited, and then you add in just the impact that it could have on what we're dealing with public lands, in the sense of having huge national monuments in these areas that are already struggling with these services, and then those services are now being abused even more. So true emergencies are not able to be taken care of for local people, for visitors, and we just want to make sure that gets taken care of and people are held accountable. Now, this doesn't pertain if this was simply an accident. If honest mistakes are happening and someone accidentally calls, you're not going to fall within this of, we want to hold you accountable for that. We understand. This is, if it's happening all the time, it's very intentional, knowingly that we're trying to take care of the problem.
You know, I really like that aspect of it because it does account for mistakes that do happen. Sometimes you are going to make that butt dial, and unfortunately sometimes that could call emergency services, but it's those who are using it knowingly and maliciously like that that should be facing some consequences. Now, the last bill that you have currently introduced into the House is one that we saw you make an appearance of last year, but it continues on the theme of EMS services in especially rural areas, and that is the First Responder Volunteer Tax Credit, one that was unfortunately unable to pass last year, but coming back this year, what's changed this go-around? Or are you just trying to get this through a second year in a row now that you've kind of established yourself more in the legislature?
Yeah, I would say that's probably the main thing. That when you're in the legislature, there's processes that you follow, and there's processes to get things done. And sometimes when you're brand new, you do really well and get to a finish line and realize that that's not the actual finish line. And so that's what we're doing this time, understanding the process better, having good relationships with people, working these bills beforehand, having time to do it. That's really the biggest difference. What we're doing with this is we're just going to give a tax credit to emergency responders based on the hours they work. We decrease the amount a little bit because we know that this year, going into the session, the budget's going to be tight. As it should. We should find ways to cut government spending, in my opinion. And so a tight budget is not a big problem to me. It's actually a good reason to find ways that we can save money and make better use. But with this bill, we're just trying to give a credit in hopes that we can recruit and have more volunteers that are doing life-changing things.
Now, as you kind of look at this upcoming session, what are some of your, like, in a broader sense, what are your goals for this session? Because you've obviously put a very heavy emphasis on healthcare with your background provider working in the industry. But outside of that, what are some of your focuses going into the session?
So, you know, I represent a big district. I represent a district that covers 27,000 square miles. We have 1.6 people per mile. That's a lot of area to cover, and I think we have to focus on that. We have to find ways to benefit everyone that lives in those areas differently. So that's complicated, but a priority to me is to make sure that rural Utah has a voice at the table, and at the table of healthcare, at the table of water, at the table of public lands. I just want to make sure that when we're talking policy, that we understand not all policy is based on the Wasatch Front. Now, not all policy is driven by all the legislators that live up there. We need to be aware of what's going on, and we need to make sure that our voice is heard there. So that's really my main goal, is to make sure that my colleagues understand the impacts that legislation has on rural Utah.
You know, and as someone who's born and raised in rural Utah, I love when we have legislators like yourself, like Representative Watkins in District 67, who really are putting an emphasis on rural Utah. You guys aren't up there trying to fight culture war battles. You are fighting for things that genuinely do have an impact on the everyday lives of people down here in rural Utah. It's something that oftentimes it feels like we are overlooked in the state. So being able to have voices up there who are willing to fight for us really means a lot to your constituents.
Yeah, and all the things matter, right? Like all of the topics that we discuss within the legislature, whether they apply directly to us or not, they all matter. But we've got to find ways to bring the conversation back to how does it matter locally for everybody.
Yeah, you want to take these big picture issues and look at that local impact. Now, Representative Monson, unfortunately, we are running out of time. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners off with?
I would just say be involved, be engaged, reach out, call, text, email, be part of the process. The process doesn't work unless you're part of it. And so be engaged. Let me know how I can help you. We're not going to agree on everything, but I will always listen to your point of view and try and balance that as I'm going into making decisions for the state.
Well, Representative Monson, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Again, our guest, Representative Logan Monson, representing House District 69, giving his legislative preview for the upcoming session of the Utah State Legislature. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.